getting to know you.
Whoa.
Getting to know all about
whoa.
You. Getting to like
whoa.
You. Getting to hope you like
whoa.
Me.
Welcome to Getting to Know Woo. I'm Natasha Levenger, a professional intuitive reader, energy healer, and inner child healing expert. After being raised with extreme narcissism, I found talk therapy was helpful, but it wasn't until I found energy and inner child healing that I was able to break free of family patterns that cut me off from knowing and loving my true self. I'm passionate about dispelling the rhetoric that these kinds of tools are impractical and ineffective, and in this podcast, I will be sharing how actually beneficial and transformative they are. My husband and producer, Brett, will be joining me in conversation, and we will be welcoming experts along the way. I'm excited to have you here. What's up, Woozinators?
What's up, Woozers?
Oh, wow.
I lost
what
my
happened
I was
there?
Laughing and then tried to say that at the end of the breath that I had.
Okay. We're looking at our cat who is standing here on top of a box
with her
tongue out. Yeah. We record this in Brett's office.
Amongst the boxes. Which we'll talk about another time.
Will we?
I meant you or, and I.
Oh, we'll talk. Okay.
They don't want to hear it.
No, I don't think that's too interesting. All right. Well, today on our lovely show, did we skip an extra week? I think we've really been...
No, last time we
did. Oh, okay.
This time we'll be on track.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's been a lot of illness. And then this week, our oldest had a tonsillectomy, which who knew?
And an adenoidectomy.
Right. And all the doctors have been warning us that it's among the most painful surgeries ever for adults. And
yeah.
They're almost an adult, but
yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a lot, but of like physical.
So it's been a care intensive week.
Yeah. But I also like the last month has been kind of wild. Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Kind of wild. Anywho's woozers. Today we have a lovely person, human man, I almost said. Heather Mann, who I really love. I've worked with a lot. She's a human design expert, among other things. And we had a really lovely conversation.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you all to hear it. Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time creating my class, A Spell of Remembering.
Oh, that's such a great name.
Thank you. Why do you say that?
That makes it sound like I made it up.
I know, it does.
But I didn't. I just really love that name.
Oh, you do sound like you're trying to imply something.
Yeah, I'm not. I agree. I sound that way. I am absolutely not. I'm just trying to sound enthusiastic.
Oh, boy. We're recording later than usual. I think it's making us a little giddy. Anyway, I've been so excited about it. I don't know why, but the, like, it's me. I mean, I know why I'm excited about my class, but I feel like, and actually I am going to put this in my Substack this week because it's the energy report for March. Mm. And I do feel like the mysteries of life are extra available to us and also exciting right now.
Do you mean like answers to the mysteries of life are
like
extra available?
I mean like feeling into the excitement of, I'll talk specifically about intuition. Like my first class of A Spell of Remembering is all about really honing in all these different ways that you can access intuition,
yeah.
Which intuition is really just being aware of the availability of these unseen energies everywhere inside us and outside us.
Well, that is a great, you should teach a class on this. That is a great way to describe that.
And that's what feels so alive right now. I feel like it just keeps becoming more and more alive, all the different ways to access it and all the different ways that I sense it. And like I saw this, I went to a Rolfer who also does craniosacral work. And I love this guy so much. Oh my God. And he was just such a joyous person. He's a Pisces moon, of course. You know, I had to ask for his astrology. And and actually, I have to tell him that next time because I didn't mention this part of it, which, you know, Pisces, I'm a Pisces rising, are very usually like very in touch with those mysteries and with feeling that connection to the other world, otherworldly energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was talking about how we are like that language is, as much as he loves it, is really divisive. Mm. It labels things. You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to turn things into labels in order to turn them into language, speaking language anyway. Energetic language is something else. Anyway, so he was saying, but that creates a separation between this illusion of separation. And there is no separation. And that's also this intuitive language that I'm talking about, is this language of being attuned to that there is no separation and feeling into all those energies that we feel separate from but aren't.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Wow. This is – I'm taking this class, by the way, everybody, if that's any incentive for you, which I think we can safely assume it is.
Well, the sign-up's already. By the way, it's not open.
Yeah, we have, one of those rolling tickers, like an odometer, showing all of the sign-ups.
As soon as you said that, it started going up.
And we're not even live.
I know.
Yeah, it's really crazy. They could just feel it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really does make me excited about it, that, like, that two-minute description of something you're excited about for this class, and it's a six-week class, it feels very great, very exciting.
And it feels very alive. That's what I was saying. And it was cute, because talking to this guy, we were both so excited. We were both laughing the whole time. But he was talking about how, like, the stars are aware of us, in the sense that the stars feel our energy, just like we can feel the stars' energy, but this, and the earth can feel our energy, and it's just all so connected, and we're all part of it. Oh, and also that our nervous system goes past our body. And that, to me, is the, at least partially, our aura. That's, you know, that's our aura is part of our nervous system that's feeling and sensing the world around us. And when we are diffuse in it, when it's like we're just kind of giving our energy away, it affects our nervous system, and it affects how we feel about other people and how we feel around other people and ourselves, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We can maybe cut this out.
Okay.
But can you clarify what you mean by it's part of our nervous system, or aura is part of our nervous system?
Well, I guess what I mean is when I feel into it, it's like our nervous system extends beyond our body, and our aura is the bubble around our bodies, energetically speaking. So maybe what I mean is our aura includes our nervous system, or like we can sense and feel.
Like they're connected.
Yeah, they're connected. That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, just going back to the class right now, the wait list is open. If you go to natashalevinger.com, you can sign up you can take a quiz, which I think is really fun. I love quizzes, and it will give you a bunch of tools no matter what answer you get. Actually, if you get the answer, you're all good. You don't need this class. Actually, I still do give tools in that one too. Yeah.
You never don't give tools.
So, and you will find out
like how psychic tools will benefit you.
Thank you.
Based on your answers.
Yes. Yeah. So that's fun. And then it will lead you to information about the class if you want that. And you can sign up for the waitlist there. Or you can just go right to the class page to read more about it.
Yep.
And you do get an early bird discount if you sign up when you get the email from the waitlist.
Yep.
So that's all happening.
All of it.
Before we get to Heather's interview, I just want to say thank you for the review last week, Wendy, about getting to know Woo on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. I'm saying Wendy because that's what she said her name was. It makes it sound like I asked Wendy.
Right, like you know someone named Wendy who did it for you.
I actually did recognize that she is someone I know, but we just appreciate it so much. And if you feel at all compelled, anybody, to leave us a lovely review, we would really appreciate it. It really helps the show get seen for whatever reason. Apple Podcasts is like, oh, okay. We see you more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, either that or on Spotify, wherever. We are super grateful for all of you just for listening, review or not. But we'd love a review. okay, so I'm so excited. Speaking of intuition, I've been really obsessed with human design lately. And I'm considering taking Heather's course to be certified in it, because it's just like, she will talk about it. I'm not going to go into it, but it is another way, just one of the millions of ways of accessing your intuition. It gets so specific about how you should, like what your blueprint is in this world, how you show up specifically, and also how you can, like your particular design for listening to your intuition, how it speaks to you. There's a lot of clues in there.
Yeah.
Which I love. So on to the interview. Heather Mann is the Human Design Hedge Witch, a quantum energetics and human design expert, Akashic Explorer, and divine channel, guiding the girls being, of course, a universal term, to fully embody their unique brand of magic and live a rebellious, full, sparkling life that not only nourishes them, but fills them the F up. I love her. Okay, and here's the interview. Okay, Heather, I'm so excited. We are so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so, so happy to be here. And yeah, excited to see what we end up talking about.
Yeah. So I've worked with Heather on human design related and coaching, and you're so amazing and like just very perceptive and thoughtful. And Brett's nodding his head because he's listened to a couple recordings that you gave me when you were going into the Akashic and getting messages for me, and they were just super helpful. But we're not gonna, well, who knows, we may talk about the Akashic. But I am, like, especially, I don't know why, but lately I've been extra into human design, and I really wanted to talk about it. I think, not to like flatter you a million times before we get to you talking at all, but
please do.
You really to me live the human design in terms of following, well, you should talk about it so I don't botch it up, but like the thing I really resonate with human design is this idea of that there is a design there for you. And if you listen to it, if you listen to your body, if you listen to how your particular design shows up, then you're going to, I don't know, have the life that you want. Like your life is going to look how you want it to when you are following these impulses, even though sometimes it's hard. Your mind gets in the way. And I think you're a really beautiful example of following your design from how I observe you. But so can you tell us, what is asking you, what is human design? Too broad a question.
No, absolutely not. yes. Well, firstly, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm definitely not perfect at it, but I'm sure that's things we can chat about today. Exactly.
Yeah.
So human design is, like, it's referred to as the system of differentiation. It's similar to astrology in that you will need your birth time, place, and date of birth in order to get your chart. And then what you'll receive is a chart or a body graph. This is where the, I guess, the similarities with astrology kind of end, because while astrology, which I also use, I'm definitely not smashing on astrology, I adore it as well. But while astrology is giving you more insight into your personality and sort of what you do, human design is providing you a map of your energetic body. So what you'll see when you get up your chart looks like this confusing little, like, essentially human body with like the energy centers. Some will be colored in, and there'll be lines, and there'll be numbers and all sorts of things. But that's what it's providing. It's providing you a map of how your unique energy is supposed to, or was designed to, interact with energy all throughout the world. And as we know, like everything in the world is energy. Well, we have been brought up, like usually through childhood conditioning and just societal conditioning, to believe that we're all the same. And so where this concept of the system of differentiation comes in is saying, well, actually, we're actually not all the same. And that my body and my energetics operate in a very different way than you guys, than both of you. I mean, I've looked at Natasha's chart. I don't know Brett's design, but we can chat about that.
The manifestor.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Throw that in there.
Not to brag.
No, it's definitely something to brag about.
He's a 1-3, yes, so, just FYI. Okay, I'll stop interrupting.
Okay.
Okay.
1-3 manifestor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then I was going to say, do you want me to give a bit of a... just a quick rundown of each of the five energy types so people know what I'm talking about when we say manifestor.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So really the first place that you want to start when you get up your human design chart is you want to look to see which of these you have under type. You will either have manifestor, which we just said. You will have generator, which is Natasha. You'll have manifesting generator, you'll have projector, which is me, or you'll have reflector. And each of these five types is going to give you really this really deep but foundational understanding of how your energy uniquely interacts with the world around you. Each of these types has a like specific role, for want of a better way of saying it, in what they're here to do and how they're here to use their energy. So just as a very, and we can dive deeper into any of these that you want to, I'm more than happy to, but just as a very like brief overview of each of these, manifestors initiate energy. They're the spark. They're the starters of energy, right? They bring it into the world. They madly bring it into existence. Then you have generators and manifesting generators who are able to generate and like amplify and make that energy bigger, make it go places, make it like it's like a regenerative energy. And then at a certain point, the universe God was like, well, we have enough energy. let's make it work a bit smarter, not harder. And so that was where projectors come in. Projectors are the ones who redirect and refocus and move energy so that it's moving more efficiently. So projectors aren't bringing any more energy into existence. They are moving it in different ways. And then you have the reflector, which is sort of a self-explanatory one. They're interesting because they only make up one, like just over 1% of the population, and they are reflecting energy, right? So they are the people who will reflect back to you. They're that mirror. They're reflecting back to you. Here's who you are. Here's how I'm viewing you. Here's how you're using your energy. Here's what you feel like, right? They're doing that both like on a one-to-one, but also more on a community level too. So the like, if it's only 1% of the population, you're going to have like one reflector in a community, let's say, and they're going to be reflecting back the energetic health for that community. So again, that's a very basic overview, but have I done a good job of explaining?
You've done
that?
A very good job. I know about all of this, but I've never heard it explained quite like that. Also, just like projectors, because I know that projectors are supposed to like wait to be invited in order to like do whatever their thing is, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. That makes sense if they're like kind of redirecting the energy. They need to be like get that impulse, like, oh, I'm invited into this to redirect the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, will you talk about that part of it? Yeah, just like,
well, just a clarifying question. Yeah. When you say supposed to, you mean that is how they will work best if they wait to
that's a better way to put it. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, good questions, both of you. Yeah. So what you're touching upon now is the aura type and strategy. So this is each energy type has their own unique aura, so how their energy feels to the world, and they also have a certain strategy, which is just their energetic strategy. So the projector strategy, and I'll kind of circle back to this, just a warning to your audience, I have ADHD, so I will go on lots of different tangents, but we'll get back to where we need to go.
Well, anyway, we all have it.
Yeah.
Everyone here has it.
Fabulous. You get it then. Yeah. So each of the five types has also an aura. So again, just to go through these very briefly, the manifestor aura is closed and repelling. And this sounds like, ooh, I don't want to be that, right? But because the manifestor is here to make a big impact, it's got that leadership energy, that initiatory, I feel like I want to do something and then I go do it and who cares what anybody else says energy, they do not have the energy to be for everyone. They don't have the energy to simply tend to everybody else's needs. So that's why their auric field actually can feel quite closed and repelling at times, but it will feel actually quite open and inviting to the people who are supposed to be impacted by you, who are supposed to be into your world, right? So it's really like, I really think of it as a protective mechanism towards the manifestor's aura, that you can feel like it's a big energy, right? And it's always interesting working with especially women clients who are manifestors, because women are often conditioned to take up less space, be small, right? But their aura is doing the exact opposite. When a manifestor walks into the room, it's like, I'm here. You know, it's not even a conscious thing. It is, you just feel it, right? Then the manifesting generator and generator auric field is more open and it's in like enveloping, right? Like when you are around a generator or manifesting generator, because you guys are like the energetic batteries for the world, you are also the energetic amplifier of everyone around you. So that's where these are the auric fields that you will, those people that you spend time with and you just feel lit up and excited being in their presence, like their energy gives you energy. You're probably around someone who is either a generator or manifesting generator. And it can absolutely go the other way too, because your auric field is so open and just not open in the sense that like you're taking on other people's stuff, but it's more other people are feeling your energy, right? It in, you envelop the world with your energy. It goes the other way too, where if you're in a mood, if you're flat, if you're drained, the people around you are also feeling that, and you can kind of just feel the energy of the room or the group, the project just flatten, because that is the quality that is being communicated through your auric field. It's like, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be doing this, and so no one else wants to be there doing that either. And then we get to the projector aura, which is perceptive. It's penetrative, right? So the projectors are the people who you'll be having a conversation with and you're like, you're not looking at me. You are looking in me. You are seeing deep into my soul. You're seeing my energy, because in order for the projector to redirect energy, we have to be able to move past people's conditioning. That's what the projector aura is designed to do. It's able to, like, and this is once a projector has deconditioned from their own like trauma and blocks and all of that, they're really able to see beyond what that person says to what they really mean, what they really need. And so I'll just quickly do the reflector aura.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, maybe we'll come back to that. All right. But then to go back to your question of why does the projector need to wait to be invited? People do not like to be penetrated in that level, right? Most people are not open and receptive to someone saying, like, even if you're in a conversation with a friend and you're just kind of like whinging about your day, right? 9 times out of 10, you just want to hear that from that friend, like, oh, that sucks. Like, I'm really sorry that happened, right?
Yeah.
But the projector is going to be the friend who from like literally childhood has been like, well, why don't you just say this? Like, why don't you just do this? The solution is simple. Like, why are we wasting our energy having this conversation?
So are all men projectors? Just kidding.
Yeah, I know. It's a good question.
Bringing big mansplaining energy.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't surprise me. but yeah. So that is where the invitation comes in. The invitation comes in to make sure that the other person is open and receptive to being seen on that level. Again, it's like, it's similar to the manifestor, how I was saying there's like a protective energy, protective element to it. Because if I'm just walking around all day being like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, but nobody's listening and nobody's taking that advice on, I'm completely wasting my energy and those like projector skills and insights. But if I am as much as possible waiting for the person to say like, oh, I really, really love the way that you view this topic, or I really love your particular way you look at the world, could you look at my situation, right? Or even, you know, on that day-to-day example of in a conversation with a friend, I'll just say things like, do you just want me to listen? Or can I project to you, right, if they speak the language of human design?
Yeah.
Or if not, like, or can I give you, like, how I'm viewing this situation?
I mean, honestly, that is good advice for anybody. I mean, that's a great way to communicate. But what is the reflector aura?
The reflector aura is resistant and reflective, right? So it's both. This can be a misconception with the reflector, because I think when reflectors first come into contact with human design, some people speak about it like, oh, you're so open, you're so reflective, you're just taking on everybody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, all of these auras have a natural protective element built into it. Mm. And so while the reflector aura is sampling, is the word we use. So it's sampling little bits and pieces from people around them. So one thing that we'll say about a reflector is that it's like, yes, you are everything around you, but you're also none of that. It's like you are everything and also nothing all at once, because one day they could be reflecting manifestor type energy, and the next day be reflecting generator type energy, projector type energy, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But in reality, they're none of that. They're just sampling what's around them in order to reflect the world that's around them. But then the protective mechanism in there is that it's also like, yeah, it's resistant, right? It's not just taking on everything. The reflector has some level of conscious choice. And they have more and more conscious choice the better that they get at protecting their energy and managing their own energy and all of that into who and what they're reflecting. And of course, a huge part of that choice is environment. Reflectors and a specific type of projector, and this is where I don't want to like overwhelm people with so much information, because human design just has so many layers. But we'll zoom in on reflectors specifically. But reflectors and a specific type of projector called the mental projector, because of the amount of openness, have to be so discerning about the environments they spend time in, because they are that reflection of their environment. So it's like, if you don't like the restaurant, you won't have a good time. Like, if you don't feel good there, if you don't like the city you're in, like, it, and, you know, while other types could maybe, yes, do certain things to find a level of comfort, like if the reflector is like, I do not want to be a reflection of this city, of this town, of this place, kind of got to move, you know, like you kind of have to like take that personal responsibility, because environment is so important.
That's really interesting. It is interesting to me, because when you go through those descriptions, I feel much more like projector or reflector than generator. I mean, except when you were saying, well, I don't know. Yeah, I've never felt so aligned with the generator, because they're supposed to have a lot of energy. I mean, I do have a lot of energy when I'm loving what I'm doing, but I feel like everybody does. Like when you're like really in that zone. You know,
I was just going to check, how confident are you on your birth time?
I mean, it's on my birth certificate.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty certain. But the other stuff makes sense. That's part of my humans, like the 2-4 and
Okay.
I guess a lot of this feels like advice that really is just good energetic hygiene anyway, and also emotional hygiene, like communicating and asking, like, are you open to hearing what I have to say? But I can see how, like, for specific people, it's more important that they're aligned with that. Because, like, if you have more of an impulse to just kind of dive in and fix something, it's good to know, like, oh, I need to ask first. But I have a friend of mine I was just talking to as a reflector, and I was telling her that, like, doing a chakra healing every day, like a chakra clearing every day, is probably really important for reflectors, because they just take so much on.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like that. Well, yeah, now you're really tapping into the whole concept of conditioning and just how we take on energy from the world around us, the people around us, just the collective energy in general, as well as like societal conditioning and childhood we've been dealing with from conditioning from childhood as well.
Yeah.
And yes, but yeah, for reflectors especially, like emptying out the centers at the end of the day to just come back to yourself. And again, because the reflector aura is sampling, it's testing things out. You don't want to get to a position, and this is true for all the types, you don't want to get to a part where you're like, oh, I tried on being a projector for a day and it felt really good. Or, you know, for me, like I've had periods where I've like tried on living like a generator for a while. And I was like, God, that was so fun. Like, you know, having all that energy and doing all the things. Yeah. But you want to be continuing coming back to like, but that's not how I'm designed. That's not how I'm designed. And yeah, I just wanted to just talk about what you said about feeling more like a projector than a generator for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think this is often the case for especially people who work in the healing field and especially mm-hmm. people who are very, very sensitive. But mm-hmm. exactly what you said around, I do have a lot of energy when I'm doing the things I love. That's the key. Yeah. Because for that's where your defined sacral, which is a defining factor of what it means to be a generator, is having consistent access to this life force energy, this regenerative life force energy. That's what differs you from a projector, a manifestor, or a reflector. Mm-hmm. And so for me, even if I'm doing what I love, like I love this, I'm having so much fun. This is my first like workday task today, but you like if I get to the 90 minute mark, I start to melt, even though I'm like, but I want to keep talking, you know, but it's just my voice just stops. My energy just goes flat.
It's and like a so hard no.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you ever encounter in clients like resistance to the type that they are? Like, I don't want to be a reflector. I feel like I want to do generator things. Just thinking for myself, like if I was told like, you got to wait till somebody with energy shows up and then you're going to reflect it back to them. That feels very passive to me. And I'm wondering if
you are a manifester,
like,
so.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I don't have to worry about it, but, or, you know, somebody who's like, oh man, I'm a manifester. I'd really rather just like go along with somebody else's plan. How do you work with people who have like things that they want to do or things like that they like about themselves or wish were true about themselves that are contrary to their design? Does that make sense?
It does. This is such a good question. Yeah. I mean, there are so many pieces to that. The first part is obviously like self-acceptance and self-love, because we all just want to be so different than we are. And kind of like I was saying before, this is something that I will often come across in, because I work with a lot of people who are healers or who, you know, work in this field of teaching. And they're like, well, if I'm not a projector, can I still work one-on-one with people? Like, of course you can. You know, there's no one job or one task for every type. It's again, human design is not what you're here to do. It's how you're here to do it. And so, yeah, coming back to your question, it's like, okay, cool. Like, I understand that you want to, like, let's say you're a reflector, but you want to have more of that manifestor energy. Everybody wants that manifestor energy because nobody wants to hear like, you might have to wait for like every other type kind of has to wait. The manifestor, who's only like 9% of the population, are the only people who are here to like get that urge and immediately legitimately just go and do it. Essentially, everybody wants that. But I mean, I will just invite them to reflect on, well, how has that worked out for you when you've done that, right? Like when I think about the times that I've acted like a manifestor and I've felt those urges to just go do something, right? And especially when it's come from a more like egoic urge rather than an actual like body urge to move towards something, it never works, right? I will give one personal example. It's funny, this has been so present recently, but like, a few years ago, like I've been experimenting with human design for years, since what, 2018, I think I got deep into my design. Anyway, so this was in 2021 and I was still like, yeah, you know, anyway, so my authority, my like decision make, and this is maybe the next thing we can talk about, but how I'm supposed to make decisions in human design is from my spleen, which is this just like an instinctual in the moment decision-making, like go for it.
And except, this is something that's on your chart. Like when you look it up, it says authority and you can see what yours is there.
Exactly. Yeah. And anyway, so the split. Yeah, that's fine. The splenic authority. And I will often confuse. I'm getting better at it now, but I would often confuse like what I thought was a splenic like intuition hit, a splenic instinct, with what was actually just like a manifestor type urge. I wasn't waiting for anything. I wasn't actually listening to my intuition. It was just my mind saying I should do this, and then I went and did it. But anyway, so I was in Perth and everyone around me, like, because I was hanging out with a lot of backpackers at the time, everyone around me was like buying big cars to like do long road trips with. And I was like, I should do that. So I went and did that. And like, I spent like, you know, 10 grand on this car. And then I literally ended up just driving it home because I was I actually didn't want to do this. And that car is still just sitting in my driveway unused.
So I think, yeah, it's like the difference between listening to your mind and your gut. And so like in human design, everybody has a different place that their gut, so to speak, or their intuition, those intuitive hits come from. So yeah, so that's where like the authority, you can see where yours comes from. And so with generators, I'm a sacral generator, but there's also an emotional generator. Is that right? Can you talk about that? I think that will be really helpful for people to start to get, just feel into if they want to, like, oh, okay, this is where my intuition comes from a lot.
Exactly. Yes. So now, now we're talking to that real next, like, second level of human design. Once you've understood your strategy and your energy type and how your energy works, next you move to authority, because one of the most important things in the world is knowing how to trust your decisions and like make your own decisions and stick to them, and knowing that you'll have the energy to follow through on the decisions that you make. All of this also comes from different parts within the body system, the energy centers in human design. So you will have one of the authorities, and the most common authority is emotional. 50% of the population. Yeah. And the most different types can have emotional authorities. So you can have emotional generator, emotional MG, emotional manifestor, and emotional projector. The only type you can't be is a reflector.
I didn't know that. And that's what, well, you can talk about it, but there's something about like that information comes in waves, right? When you're an emotional one, like knowing you probably will have a lot of waves, emotional waves.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you have emotional authority, it means that you have a consistent emotional energy moving through you at any given time. And the reason that if you have a defined emotional center, so each of your energy centers in human design, we kind of skipped over this, but this basically the foundation is, there are 9 energy centers in human design, and in your chart, you're either going to have it open or undefined or defined. And defined is any of the ones that are colored in, and that means you have consistent access to that energy, and undefined means that that energy center is more inconsistent in you. Mm-hmm. So if you have a defined emotional center, because emotions are so powerful, like think of the way that your feelings impact you, right? Even like, I don't think you have a defined emotional center, but like even just like, if I'm sad, then I'm sad. Nothing else really matters, right? And so if you have that energy consistently, it impacts every decision you make. So that's the number one advice that I give to emotional authority clients, is you don't want to be making decisions when you're like really, really high or really, really low in your feelings, because it, like, if you're really, really flat and low and just like feeling sad, someone could give you the best opportunity in your life. You're like, oh no, I don't want to.
Right.
And then you wake up the next morning and be like, why did I say no to that? Like, what was I thinking? Right. So you weren't thinking, you were feeling.
Right. So you just have to ride it out and wait till you're, and again, this is also just generic good advice. I mean, not generic, but it's general good advice. Like everybody, I would advise everyone to not make decisions when they're at a high or a low, but right. I have seen in my friends who are emotional, who have that emotional authority, where it's like, oh, they really go to those highs and lows, and they really have all, you know, those feelings feel really maybe deeper than to someone who doesn't have it. And so it's good to know that about yourself and know, like, I will get to the even keel place again. I will. I just have to write it out.
Completely. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it can be hard for an emotionally defined person to separate themselves from their emotions, because it's consistent, because it's always there. It's them. When I, as someone who's has an undefined emotional center is feeling things, it's easier for me to notice these are my feelings. It's not
I see.
Me. There's some right. more yeah. separation.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So there's emotional authority. And then you were talking about sacral authority. So sacral will be, you'll either be a manifesting generator or a generator. And this is that classic gut response, that feeling deep in the belly that's like, I like this, I don't like that. You know, it's, you know, we've spoken about that a lot, but it's
yeah.
very just like responding to the world around you. Like when someone presents you with something, like, do you want to go roller skating today? And you're like, oh, no, that doesn't feel good. Or, ooh, like, yes, that does feel good.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through a few more? Or?
Yeah, I do. But I was just wanting to say, since there are a lot of generators, that something that was helpful for me was to know that it's not always like a definite, it's just like sometimes it's like a little rise up or a little rise down in my body, like to know, to notice those subtle things, like that can be a yes or a no too. And if you are feeling stuck, to ask yourself questions or to have someone ask you, like, do you want to do this or this, then you I think you told me that too, is like that will help you to tune into that. You kind of, you need choices sometimes to feel that.
It's like you can't ask a pendulum an open-ended question.
Right. But, yes. Perfect example. Yeah.
And really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brett is an ego manifester. Does that mean he, that's, yeah. Can you talk about that? The ego response?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when you get to ego authority, you can be one of two types. You can be you have ego projectors and you have ego manifestors. Okay. So for the ego authority, we're really talking about the heart center. We're talking about the I. So in human design, there are two heart centers. There's like the higher heart, which is what we might think of as that like all loving, you know, self-love, all of that. Versus you have the ego / heart center, which is like when you say things like, oh, he showed such heart, you know, she shows such heart, like, like willpower, that like identity, like I want to do this, so I'm doing it. I'm sticking to it. This is for me, that sort of thing. So if that's your authority, there are a couple of major pieces of advice. The one thing, like one of the things is that talking it out is really, really helpful because it means that your ego center is directly connected to your throat. And so when you have a big decision to make, like either talk with a trusted person or just like talking into your notes app so you can start to get some of those feelings out and you can hear yourself or the person you're speaking to can echo back to you, this is what I'm hearing. What you want to be listening for with the ego center is basically asking yourself the questions that can make other people very, very uncomfortable. Like, is this good for me? What will I get out of this situation? Can I be the best at this, right? Is this even worth it for me? Both in terms of like what you're getting back, but also like, does it match your skill set, right? Are you being like called towards an activity or a project or a person or whatever it is that actually works for who you are and what you know you can do? Again, these are like the ego authority when it's actually operating as it's designed to can be very, very uncomfortable because we're so conditioned to put other people first. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you just like roll through and not care about anybody else's feelings, but there's a real taking your own needs, desires, and wants into consideration in that decision-making process. And yeah, oftentimes talking it out a little bit can help.
It's so interesting because I feel like for Brett, a lot of his like growing up conditioning, because he was raised Mormon and taught not to that his needs were last. All people's need. It's like family first, everyone else
service
first.
Service first.
Yeah. And there's so many things like also with his astrology too. He's a Sagittarius rising. It's like there's so much where that doesn't show up for him because of all this conditioning. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it must. I was just about to say it must be very, very uncomfortable to work with the idea of being designed to make decisions by centering yourself, even just the manifestor stuff, even if we don't bring in the ego stuff,
yes.
Like, even I, you know, that manifestor, that leadership type energy, that I'll go first and I don't really care if you're coming along, but you can if you want to sort of energy, I can imagine is quite uncomfortable to work with.
It has shown up in my life in ways. Like, I was the first of my large family to leave the church. That's really the biggest example. But I'm wondering if you can talk to the ways that like living against type because of conditioning might show up for people, and how like how you help people come back from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, conditioning pretty much shows up in literally everything that we do. You know, that's like the foundations of psychology and just how humans operate, is that we operate based on what we believe, what our body believes is the safest operation, like way to move through the world. So if you like, I always say that conditioning, think of it like an athlete, how an athlete conditions their body. You were grown up with your body being conditioned to move, to operate in a specific way, whether that be to shrink, to put others first always, to go really defensive, right? Maybe you're more in that fight and like fighting back and always fighting off attacks, right? You have certain ways that your body naturally moves when you're in certain circumstances. And so the number one, it really shows up in everything. Like, I'm just trying to think, but just in your example of being conditioned to basically go against what a manifestor does, you might feel those urges and then second guess yourself, but because you're like, oh, but is that in the best interest of everyone? But sometimes the ego manifestor, like if we take that more collective worldview, what's actually in the best interest of everyone, even though what you're doing might be bad for your family or for the church, it was in your best interest to say, I'm going first. Like, I'm blazing the way, I'm leaving the church, even though I'm impacting in a bad way the people who are directly connected to me on a collective level. You were able to be that example for a whole community or even for the whole world, right? And that's what a manifestor has to do. They have to put kind of like take the person next to them out of the equation and think of themselves for the good of the world, essentially, because manifestors create those movements, right? No pressure. Oh, no, of course, there's never any pressure. Like, whatever you're doing is perfect. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So how do we decondition, right? First is always just like self-awareness. So like, and a places where we can gather self-awareness are things like astrology, things like human design, because you can either see, okay, cool, this is a map of how I am designed to operate. But if you don't resonate with it, it's always like, well, your intuition comes before the chart, right? So you might look at your chart and be like, I don't really want to play with that particular part. That's fine, right? So it's all just bringing you back to self-awareness. And then once you have that,
yeah, I love that.
Once you have that self-awareness, you can work into reconditioning. So same thing, coming back to that athlete example of you are literally just retraining your body to operate in the new ways that you desire it to. So very basic example, if you have always hid during a confrontation, like if this is very common for anyone who has a undefined solar plexus, undefined emotional center, there is often a deep fear of conflict. And these can often be like the people pleasers, the people who put like your emotional needs second to keep the peace. So every time you're presented with someone who to you feels angry, right? Even if they're just raise their voice a tiny bit or just like saying something that feels a little bit uncomfortable, you tend to go into maybe like shutdown, right? So notice, okay, cool. How is my body conditioned to operate in this way? Maybe your shoulders slump. Maybe you get small. Maybe you actually feel yourself contract. And so that next step is asking, well, how do I want to operate? How do I want to recondition my body? So it might be, I roll my shoulders back. I look them square in the eye, or I maintain eye contact. And depending on the person and how deep the conditioning is, I'll often get my clients to do like dress rehearsals of how you want to operate fresh. So in session, I'll have them imagine themselves in that kind of situation, let's say an argument with a partner, right? And actually with the body, work on rolling the shoulders back, looking their partner in the eye, advocating for themselves, because the mind, the body doesn't know the difference between what's really happening and like what we're just imagining. So we can have an imaginative situation, start to make those new movements second nature, so that when they're faced in the actual situation, it doesn't feel so foreign to roll your shoulders back and to advocate for your own needs. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. Is that like somatic approach, part of human design, or is that you bringing different modalities that you've learned?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, and it's kind of both. Like human design in its essence is very body based. Like it's basically saying our mind is conditioning. The truth resides in our body, but we've got to get past the conditioning to find that truth. And then just with that, I guess intellectual understanding that's presented in human design, I've, worked in other modalities to help that deconditioning process. Yeah,
enhance exactly. It. Unfortunately, I hate this. We have to wrap up. Did you finish the authorities? I just want to make sure we get to everyone.
No, I haven't. Okay, let me. So we've done emotional, we've done sacral, and we did ego.
Ego.
Cool. So I've already sort of touched on splenic. So splenic, you might be a projector, you might be a manifestor. Splenic authority is very instinctual. It's that classic, like, intuitive hit. It might be that little whisper in the ear. The spleen, which is the energy center that we're referring to here, is connected to the immune system. I like to tell it like this because I think it's the best way to describe splenic authority. But the immune system, what does it do? It spots invading cells. It's able to differentiate between that's me, that's not me, I kill what's not me. And so on an energetic level, that is what the splenic authority is doing. It's able to spot, like sniff out almost, like the senses are often heightened in a splenic authority person. So it's like that smells, that person smells like it's not good for me, right? So I'm able to say instantaneously, this person is for me, that person's not for me. This opportunity is for me, that opportunity is not for me. Trusting it is probably one of the most difficult authorities to trust because there's no logic in the spleen whatsoever, right?
But wouldn't you say there's no quote-unquote logic in any of it? Like if I feel a thing in my body where it's like a rise or a fall, that's not quote-unquote logical.
Yeah, no, you're right, 100%. Yeah, I guess I just think of the spleen, it's like, because it's so unique to you, right? So if I'm like, I don't trust that person, it doesn't mean that that person is untrustworthy. It's the spleen is saying that person's not meant to be in my life. Yeah. So there's no objectivity whatsoever. It's with situations like that anyway. There's caveats to everything always. But okay, so
unlike an egoic authority where it helps you to talk through it, like that one seems much more explainable to other people. Like I can tell people what process I used to arrive at that decision in a way that a splenic authority would have a much harder time relaying that subjective experience to somebody.
Exactly right. The number of times that I've heard people say, how do you know, and I'm like, I just know. I can't tell you.
Trust me.
Exactly. So I always say like it's good to have a splenic authority person in your family who's deconditioned, because they'll be like, we should sell the house now. You'll be like, why? Just trust me. You just have to trust me, right? And then you sell the house and you make more, and then interest rates drop and you lose money, right? If you'd waited. Anyway, so that's splenic. Then you have self-projected authority. So this is just projectors will have this authority. And this means that the heart center, the G center, identity center, it's often referred to, is directly connected to the throat. So this is another one of those authorities that's about talking it out, But here, when you had the ego authority that's listening for you to say things like, I want this, this is good for me, I desire this, what will I get out of it? With the identity center, we're thinking about life path, right? So when you're talking it out here, you're listening for very, very quiet whispers of the heart. This is an authority that is very easily drowned out by the noise of people's emotions, sacral like gut hits and other people's intuitions. So you really do have to get quiet. And if you are talking it out with a person rather than your phone notes, trust that person not to project their intuitions, their emotions onto the situation. And you're listening for yourself saying things like, yeah, like I do want to do that. That feels like it's on my path. And also listening for yourself saying things like, yeah, you know, I really want to do this, but I should do that, right? The I really want to do that is what you want to keep coming back to, because again, it's like the logic, other people's emotions, all of that can really hide what's true. Like it's difficult to get in touch with the, well, actually it's easy to hear, but it's difficult to stay with it when everybody else is projecting their stuff on top of what can be very, very quiet with the self-projected authority. And then you have a mental projector authority. So it will be called things like environmental authority. It might be called mental authority. It is essentially, like I prefer mental authority because I think people calling it environmental authority, it can feel like your decisions are coming from outside of you, but they're not at all. If you are a mental projector, you will have mental authority. And this just means that there is so much noise in your head that for you to be able to get to your decision, you have to get it all out. Like, I don't care how you get it out. If you write it all down, if you if you have a like trusted partner, right? Just be like, I'm just going to literally like word vomit for the next 15 minutes. You just kind of have to listen to me, right? Get it out. And then that's the thing. While they're often encouraged to talk it out, I find that, so I have a few really good friends who are mental projectors and they'll be like, hey, can we like, you know, go back and forth? Like I'm trying to make a decision. I'm like, yeah, no worries. They'll send me about 15 massive messages and then get to the end.
That's so funny.
Get to the end, be like, cool, this is the decision I've come to. And I'm like, so you didn't even need me. Like you just needed to get it out.
I feel like that's true with anxiety too. If you have a lot of anxiety or if your mind, you know, spiraling, that's a really good practice just to get it all out. Just write it all out or without editing or stopping yourself.
100%. Yeah. And then the final authority is the reflector authority, which is to wait a lunar circle, a lunar cycle, waiting a lunar cycle. So it's similar to environmental and mental authority in that, yes, you are being impacted by who's around you. But yeah, so basically for the reflector, because they are a reflection of the world around them, they want to not be making a decision like straight away. This is big decisions, right? This is like moving, new jobs, partners, whatever, right? Because if you make a decision on a day when you're just like reflecting something random, you'd make a decision potentially based on that person or that situation. But if you take a lunar cycle, so reflectors are really, really connected to the moon cycle. If you're able to take that lunar cycle to experience like and sample all that you're supposed to experience throughout that month, both through the transits, like the moon's transits, touching every single part of your chart, and then also just the people you're supposed to meet that month, the experiences you're supposed to have that month, all of that. By the time you get to the end of that lunar cycle, so approximately 29-ish days, you will have come to and known the
all the different ways.
Exactly.
You've experienced, I read somewhere for reflectors, it said like, let the answers reveal themselves to you as a strategy. Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is essentially the same thing. It's like over.
Oh, because it's like you've listened to all the different ways of being and all the, and so then you're like letting it reveal to you after that.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're a reflector and you're like, cool, I want to make this decision. decision. And I'm starting my lunar cycle today. It's not like for the next month, you have to be actively thinking, okay, what do I feel today about this decision, right? You just set the intention of I'm giving myself the next month to feel into what's correct for me, right? Then just move through your month and follow that intuition and sample what you want to sample and continue like emptying out your energy centers and all of that. And then by the time you get to the end of the month, yeah, see what answers revealed itself. I really love the way of wording that.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to end now. thank you so much, Heather. I loved that. It was so helpful. Yeah, really great. Yeah, really, you explained everything so well. So can you tell people not just where to find you, but like, I don't know, some of an offering or offerings that you're excited about now that you want to tell them?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't really have any like, other than my personal services, I don't really have a lot open right now, but I always have, if you guys are like curious about human design, I have my membership called the Coven of Energetic Mastery. And that's got
amazing.
That's got both like all the intro human design stuff. So you'll essentially be able to read the basics of your own chart, as well as lots of application things. So how I take different energetics and apply them to different situations, workshops, all of that. So that I think is the best like starting place.
Yeah.
Then
it's amazing. It's really great.
And then of course human design readings. I do gene keys readings, as Natasha knows I do.
Oh, I actually didn't know you did gene key.
Yeah, that's a more recent thing, but yeah.
We may have to have you back to talk about that because I want to know more about that.
I would love that. Yes. And then as Natasha said, I also have recently started doing like psychic work, been opening up to like psychic and Akashic work. And I also have a full self-study human design reader training too. If you're like, I just want to know everything, you know, if you're one of those people who's like, I just want it all. So yes, that's all on my website. For readings, it's pretty much just DM me or email me.
All right, and we'll put it all in the show notes, but it's Heather Mann.
It's Heather Mann Human Design. And then on Instagram I'm the Human Design Hedge Witch.
Okay. Great. That's great. All right, well thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you so much. This was really fun and it went so quickly. I can't believe we're already done.
I know, we usually only try to talk to people for half an hour, but it's been an hour, but I was like, no, I need more. So sorry about that for you if we already told you. Okay.
Yay,
we hope you love it as much as we did. Okay, so let's do a card reading for the week. So I have this card deck, which I just got. It's so beautiful. It's by Devaney Amber Wolf, and that's who where I got it from, but I guess it's also written by Christina Ferrella and Caitlin Carehart. All right. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I picked Aries. So the first sign of the zodiac symbolized by the ram, individuals born under this solar placement are ruled by Mars, god of war. With Aries comes abundance as well as action, strength, and conflict that derives from an engaged, energetic way of living. Hard-headed souls emanate from this sign. Aries sees a clear path to their desires and strives for success in obtaining these desired things no matter the cost. Themes of strength, pride, and directness abound, a penchant for unalloyed expression. As the first cardinal sign, Aries locates us in the initiation of identity. In light, which is how I got this card, it was upward. Aries is optimistic, warm, energized, and brave, engages the world in a forthright and adventurous manner, and brings us the newness of a beginning. Well, you know, it's interesting because I was talking before and feeling so excited about things, about the mysteries and the energies, and it does feel like that exciting, like, oh, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, I was just going to say your energy about this class has been very Aries. Aryan.
Yeah.
Ooh, Aries-like.
know how you do say that.
Probably Aryan. Yeah, but spelled different. Doesn't sound great, especially not coming from me.
But yeah, that is part of the, when I think about it, well, first of all, what I was going to say, the March energy, which does include Aries in it.
Right.
It does feel like that energy is coming towards the end, but also, yeah, I am feeling it in all of it. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, you drew this card about the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it always feels nice to get an optimistic, energized experience.
Yeah.
You know, and as we are coming into spring, it feels nice to be feeling like positive and buoyant.
Yeah, it is weird that we're coming into spring.
I know.
That felt like hit part of my brain to wake it up.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Just some last minute plugs here if you don't already have my book.
Which you probably do.
Or if you could review it, that would also be fantastic. You can find me on TikTok. I have been posting a lot there. Lots of obviously free content.
What's your handle?
Oh, it's Natasha Levenger.
Oh, great. That makes it easy.
So those are other places you can find me. In the meantime, thank you so much. We are so appreciative of you. Love you all. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.